You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with Simon Antrobus. He's the Chief Executive of RNIB. Simon, good to have you along again.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
You've got a week off at the end of the month, so I'm counting the days. Don't take that the wrong way, though. Right, a few topics to get through today. Well, a couple of topics we're going to discuss. Now, you have been getting out and about. I know when you joined, Simon, the first time we spoke with you, you're a keen person to get kind of on the ground, going around the different parts of RNIB around the UK, seeing how things work. And your latest visit has been to Wales.
Yeah, it's a really important part of the way I work as a chief executive is getting out and about. You can't really talk about an organisation and the brilliant work it does if you don't go and experience it. So this week was the opportunity to go and meet the RNIB team in Wales, based in Cardiff, which was great. I had the opportunity to meet our ECLOs, our eye care liaison officers for Wales, a really passionate bunch, dedicated, long-serving colleagues in RNIB. And you get a sense, don't you, when you do this, Alan, of the difference between, say, what's required in Wales compared to what might be required in England because, of course, of the devolved government. So that was a really interesting conversation. And then there's so much great work that we're doing across Wales. I met some amazing RNIB colleagues, and I had the opportunity as well, which was one of the things that I think is really important, and we should encourage as many people as possible to do this, is I was taken on a guided walk around the city of Cardiff, which is a lovely city. And I was taken around to experience some of the challenges that blind and partially sighted people might face that as a sighted ally, you might not first recognise or understand. Of course, the big thing they've been doing in Cardiff is raising awareness about the bus lanes and cycle lanes and bus islands, all of these kind of things. And when you experience it through a guided walk, you get to really understand how design and city design is so important to blind and partially sighted people.
Did you get to try the sim specs on a walk?
I did. That was standing at a bus stop that's got a cycle path in front of it before you get onto the bus, and having the sim specs on certainly gave me a really strong understanding of what it means to try and navigate those kind of challenges. So that was really helpful.
As well as Wales, of course, going around the UK, you know, it's the built environment is a big thing at the moment. RNIB Scotland are, with other organisations, trying to campaign with influence, shall we say, the City of Edinburgh Council, who want to do that kind of thing on a major route in Edinburgh, in the city centre. It's widening the kerbs, active travel, putting in floating bus stops. And it kind of baffles me that sometimes, I'm not just saying about politicians, but they perhaps don't understand the difficulties there. You know, if you're getting off a bus or on a bus and there's a cycle in front of you, and I'm always incredibly apprehensive, even with a guide dog, because you're relying on cyclists to be paying attention. You're relying on so many different things to go right for you that you don't end up, you know, having some kind of an accident as well. And it also puts people off going out in the first place. You know, people then don't want to go into certain parts of the city.
No, exactly. And we know, don't we, that at RNIB, that getting around is a key kind of factor in enabling blind and partially sighted people to make a full contribution in communities and with their lives. So it's fundamental. And what's so important for us as RNIB is the part we play in that, because what's certainly become apparent when I was doing the guided walk in Cardiff, and I'm sure it's the same in Edinburgh where you're experiencing things, Alan, is that doing the right thing now, getting things accessible and in the right shape for blind and partially sighted people, is much more of an economic benefit than trying to retrofit things once you're partway down the line, which is the experience they've got in Cardiff at the moment, whereby some of the things that need to be implemented to bring back the situation to the right kind of accessibility for blind and partially sighted people are going to cost a lot of money. And with strapped cash in local authorities, it's frustrating, isn't it, that if they'd have taken the advice and guidance that we can provide at the very beginning of this journey, they would have probably saved themselves a heck of a lot of money. So I hope we're being called upon to advise and guide the local authority in Edinburgh as well. And that was only part of what I was, you know, getting to understand in Cardiff. There was so much other stuff that was coming out of the great work that we're doing, and in Wales. So the work we're doing to campaign and influence with the Welsh government around accessible healthcare, which in and of itself is such a critical thing for people to be able to control their own journey within the healthcare system and getting that right. And of course, the whole opportunity, right opportunity as well, Alan, for blind and partially sighted people who speak Welsh to be able to have the Welsh language properly accessible as part of that, but in all walks of life as well. So that's something that we're working really hard at RNIB in Wales as well. And then the other thing, again, related to getting around, Alan, is that the work that we're doing, which is called See Cymru Differently, which is all about ensuring that the national parks across Wales are reflecting accessibility needs for blind and partially sighted people as well. And there was a really inspiring conversation with a chap called Gareth, who's focusing down on this work in Wales, which is, you know, something that we could replicate across the whole of the UK, because getting out and about and feeling confident in nature is something that we should all enjoy.
Do you find sometimes, I know you've obviously worked with the third sector in the past as well, and you know, you come across the devolved nations, the different devolved powers that come in there as well. Sometimes it can be a good thing, but you find sometimes it's like, well, there's a good idea here, why can't that be implemented somewhere else?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing to recognise and acknowledge is that Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, we're all different, and that we should respect those national differences and their different journeys when it comes to eye care and eye care health and all of that, because of just the way the devolved nations are set up and established. But the thing is about it, Alan, is there's so much we can learn. Talking to colleagues in Cardiff, I was thinking there's so much transferable knowledge and information that we could be using to help shape and guide other parts of the UK. And I'm sure it's the same from the conversations I've already had with colleagues, RNIB colleagues, and blind and partially sighted people up in Scotland and in Northern Ireland as well. So there are these differences. And of course, you can talk about that resulting in a bit of a postcode lottery. But equally, there's an opportunity for us to think about, well, if we're seeing all of this, how do we share it to make sure that we can maximise the opportunities that there's a better outcome for blind and partially sighted people?
You touched a little bit about bus travel there, and of course the devolved powers too. I wanted to mention RNIB's Swap With Me project. Now, this started a while ago with RNIB Scotland. I think they've done just over 100 Swap With Me events now, where they take blind and partially sighted people to the bus depots, and they get to meet the drivers, and the drivers sort of get to almost be blind passengers. You know, how do you stop a bus? How do you get on the bus? How do you find a seat? But importantly as well, the blind and partially sighted passengers get to find out about the pressures that are on drivers at the same time. Now, these have been massively successful in Scotland, you know, making a real positive impact, improving independent journeys and the confidence of people as well going out for bus travel. It's also been done more now in England and Wales by RNIB, you know, across the UK. And I've also noticed some other charities like Guide Dogs and Pocklington Trust kind of looking at this. And it seems to me something which is such a simple idea can have a huge impact. And even some of the companies in Scotland now are incorporating the Swap With Me event style into every piece of driver training, and that's a great thing to happen from this.
Oh yeah, this is great stuff, Alan. And I've worked in the charity world for quite some time now, and I said when I joined RNIB, the really important thing that I value in any work within the charity sector is the role that lived experience can bring to change the way things come about, in this particular instance for blind and partially sighted people. And that's exactly what you're talking about here. And it's the same almost for the stuff we were talking about with the guided walk and the way cities are designed. But if you don't develop your approach, whatever that might be, and we're talking about bus drivers here, without lived experience in mind, you inevitably going to make mistakes or have a lack of awareness and understanding. So the role that we can play in bringing that lived experience right in front of transport companies, bus companies is significant, and it can have such a difference in terms of future blind and partially sighted people's experience when they go out and travel on the bus services. So it's such an important thing we do, and it's a simple and straightforward thing, isn't it, of sharing those experiences. And of course, as you say, what's so important about that is it can work both ways as well, so there can be understanding on both sides. And I'm really pleased that we play a part in that space.
And taking that training out of the classroom as well, you know, some of the drivers we've spoken to have said, you know, you can watch a video on something, you can be taught, you know, a PowerPoint presentation on what to do if you spot a blind person at a bus stop. But actually meeting the people themselves, you know, getting the sim specs on, understanding the difficulties that they face, that makes a massive difference to them.
Oh yeah, and there's nothing better than that kind of experience where you're hearing the stories firsthand in the environment where you work. So it's a really important part of what we do.
Well, we're almost out of time, Simon. It's flown by pretty quickly. Now, if you'd like to find out more about RNIB's work or you'd like to get in touch, please have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can also contact the helpline on 0303 123 9999 or ask your smart speaker to contact RNIB's helpline. Simon, we'll catch up with you once again, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.